From the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "What is your opinion? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 in the hills and go in search of the stray? And if he finds it, amen, I say to you, he will rejoice more over it than over the 99 that didn't stray. In just the same way, it is not the will of my Father in heaven that one of these little ones be lost." The Gospel of the Lord. I don't know how well you know Handel's Messiah. But the first sentence of Handel's Messiah, the whole thing flows from Isaiah 40, which we hear today. "Comfort, give comfort to my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim to her that her service is at an end." Why? The comfort that the Lord wants to give to Jerusalem and everyone symbolized as a Jerusalemite, including us, is that her guilt is expiated. Then we get John the Baptist's words prophesied by Isaiah to prepare the way of the Lord, to make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. We heard about that highway yesterday. It's a highway in which the Lord walks on with holiness. Saturday, if we didn't have the Immaculate Conception, we would have heard Isaiah talking about that the path that he would indicate, this is the way, walk in it. The path of the redeemed is literally this collision between us and the Lord, which he forgives us and then turns us and says, "Come follow me along this way." Comfort. That word comes from the word to strengthen. Fort, fortis, force, fortis in Latin, to strengthen. Con is with. The Lord comes to strengthen us with himself and all his mercy. One of the most important things in Advent is for us to receive that strength. The Lord comes with power, we proclaimed in the responsorial psalm. And that's precisely the power that he has. It's not the power of the world. It's the power of his merciful love. So we've got to clear ourselves of any other vain thing so that we're able to be strengthened by this most important thing. That's why when a voice cries out to Isaiah saying, "Cry out," he answers, "What shall I cry out?" First, it sounds a little weird. All flesh is grass. But what it means is everything besides that merciful love of the Lord is ultimately vain. It's going to burn. It's going to wilt. It's going to wither. All flesh is grass, their glory like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers wilt when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. So then the people is the grass. They themselves will wither. But the word of God stands forever. We know, as we see in the Psalms, that the mercy of the Lord endures forever. And that's why we constantly give thanks. "Here is your God," Isaiah cries out. "Here comes with power the Lord God who rules by his strong arm." But after we're envisioning God's extraordinary muscles, Isaiah finishes this passage. So this strong-armed God feeds his flock, uses those arms to gather the lambs, carrying them right next to his heart and leading all the ewes with care. That the Lord's strength is tender because his mercy is both powerful and kind. Jesus, of course, emphasizes that in today's gospel when he uses the image in Matthew of the lost sheep. St. Luke, he'll use it even more to talk about God's joy after having found the sheep. Here, Jesus uses it to emphasize the one. So much does he love every single one that he will leave the 99 behind to go in search of us. So Advent is not just a collective dynamism in which God comes for us all. He does. But the church wants us to ponder with Jesus that the Lord comes for each and every one of us to comfort you, to comfort me with the incredible strength of his mercy. This is what God, through Isaiah, today wants us to build our life on. While everything else will wither and fade, this word of the Lord's mercy will endure forever. Today the church celebrates the feast of Pope St. Damasus, Pope from 366 to 384. He was a pope who actually needed a lot of the Lord's mercy. If you don't know why, you can just read about how he won the papacy. There were two candidates, an anti-pope, and in order to secure the election, while the partisans of the anti-pope were in the, what we might call the proto-basilica of St. Mary Major, the Liberian basilica built by Pope Liberius in response to the snow on August 5th on the Esquiline Hill. While they were in there, he tried to burn down the church, or his partisans tried to burn down the church. He was a pope very much in need of the Lord's mercy, but he did receive that mercy. The papacy has its own graces, in a sense, and God sent a lot of prayers that way and sent a lot of people like St. Jerome, who, treating the pope with great respect, didn't duck fraternal correction. Damasus had a great conversion, and he did a lot of good for the church, fighting against various heresies, including one in which Jesus wasn't fully human, what we call Eutychianism, that was condemned in the Second Ecumenical Council in Constantinople. But he did really two incredible things in his papacy, Pope St. Damasus. Pope St. Damasus was the one who fixed all the tombs of the martyrs. He himself liked to go pray through their intercession, and he wanted the whole Christian world to be able to do it. And he wrote the inscriptions that you can still see at many of their places, talking about their lives and why it's important for each of us. The second great thing he did was he got St. Jerome to translate the Bible into the common language of the people, what we call the Vulgate, Latin word for common. He took the Hebrew and the Greek raw materials and he translated them so that everybody would be able to live his or her life on the basis of that firm foundation that lasts forever. It was Jerome who would have translated for us these beautiful words in today's Gospel of St. Matthew, the extraordinary words of the prophet Isaiah and all the others, because everything else will fade, but this endures. Jerome's translation, as a symbol of the word, has endured now for over 1,600 years. It's going to still echo throughout the celestial Jerusalem. Today, as we come forward to celebrate this Mass, we remember that the whole dynamism of the Mass is the verbum domini leads to the verbum caro factum est. And that verbum caro factum est is meant to transform us so that the word, meaning the person of Jesus with all that he's spoken, takes on our own flesh as it did in the flesh of the Immaculate Virgin Mary. So the Lord wants to bring about this metamorphosis in us today. Let us receive his tender comfort.